Hallelujah. We thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, because you touch every part of our lives today. In the name of Jesus, Father, because we are transformed in every way possible to live a life that is victorious on this earth for the time you have us here. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you, because the Lord returns for a church without spot or wrinkle. The Lord returns for a church such as us, for we are that church. We thank you, Father, because you return for a victorious church, a church that is reigning, a church that is not defeated, a church that is victorious, that is on top in every way. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you, because you lift us to the top, because that's where you will find us. You do not find us at the bottom. You do not find us defeated. You do not find us downcast. You find us living the fullness of the victory that Jesus Christ died that we shall walk in. And now, in the name of Jesus, we walk in that victory in every area of our lives. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. First, wait. Quiet. First, say, where is Lois? Get her mic. Yeah.
Praise God. Today I want to testify for the Lord. He's been really good to me. Last month, I was diagnosed with hepatitis B. If we have doctors here, you know what it means.
Tell us, what does it mean?
It is a very dangerous disease. It cannot be cured. Yes, that's what the doctor told me. So when I got the first test, they had to take a confirmatory test. And that test was sent to South Africa. I have my results here with me. I'm going to show you. It was taken to South Africa to confirm. So that day, when the first day I got the news that I have hepatitis, I told the doctor, those are your results. I refuse them. And the doctor was like, amen. So they took the results to South Africa. That day I started looking for my papa. I followed him up until he allowed me to meet him. And I met him at Renzol Towers. Yes. I met him and he told me, I told him what I was going through. He said, no, there is no big deal here. You just keep, you're going to keep repeating only one scripture. By his stripes were healed. He told me, just go and repeat that word every minute. I had prepared some money to come with and I forgot it home. He told me, don't give that money. Just go and eat what you feel like eating. Chew that money, because God is going to heal you. And as you know, I was forgetting, like every minute I forget. But when I remember, I'm like, by his stripes I'm healed. Then I speak like 10 times. Praise God. On Tuesday, my results came back. Let me tell you, testing hepatitis 2 times and it is positive. And not just hepatitis, but hepatitis positive and COA. That means by the time it is positive the second time, there is no any other solution. You just have to wait there, pray to your God, or wait until you die. It is not true. It cannot be cured. Amen? After receiving the results...
So about how long does it take to die from...
Papa, I was told, according to the second test, usually when the second test comes out, when it is positive, that means the viral load is around 2,000 plus. Viral load. Which means that for you, actually, you need to start on medication, but again, you pray to your God. Because even the medication, by the time you test for the second time positive, that means your lungs are affected already. You're sick. But when they tested my lungs, they were as normal as a new baby born. It has never happened, because when I picked my results from the doctor, the first person who gave me the results, she looked at me as if I was a mad girl. She asked me, where do you pray from? I told her, my God in heaven. That's where I pray from. I went to the second doctor. the one who was supposed to explain to me
that
meaning
is after you had gone back after the two positive tests.
Yes.
Now the third time.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Then this one was now going to explain to me in full what the results mean. The lady looked at me and put the results down. She started dancing. She's even pregnant. She started dancing. She was like, "Are you born again?" I told her, "Yes." That the God you serve is a living God. Praise God. After that one, she wrote for me a letter to take to the main hospital, that is International Hospital. I went there today. People, let me open these results here. If we have a doctor here, a doctor can come. What the doctor wrote there was like, because when the second test came, the results were showing that I'm below 22. These are all the results, madam. Start from there.
And you're also, when you verify, you also dance like the other day. Like the pregnant lady.
Let me first show you. Praise God. Let me give her a microphone first.
First of all, tell us, what is hepatitis B?
Let me first dance.
Okay. You hold the mic and tell us what hepatitis B is.
Hepatitis B is a viral disease that mainly destroys the hepatocytes, the liver cells. It mainly sits in the liver. It is a fulminant disease, and it, in most cases, it culminates in hepatocellular carcinoma, liver.
Okay, now we know you're a doctor. Eh? Now speak English.
In most patients, its end result is cancer of the liver.
Cancer of the liver?
Yes, sir.
In most patients?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So what do the results tell us?
She actually doesn't have the disease anymore.
Okay. Praise the Lord. Are you still testifying or you finished?
Yes, I'm still testifying. Today when they sent me to the doctor, actually the physician, when I reached there, he asked me, "What are you here for?" I told him, "Those are the results." They told me you should take more action. Told me no more action, no medication, you're not sick, just go home, celebrate, eat and pray to your God. They've told me that you pray to God. I'm really happy, Papa, I'm really happy.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now, you know, she came with like a seed she wants to sow to get healed. Now, I told her, don't bring the seed, eh? Because I don't want her to imagine that you bought the healing. Eh? It's good to sow a seed, but not at that time. The healing was already paid for all those years ago. Eh? So she told me, "I forgot the seed, I'll bring it tomorrow." I said, "Go and eat it." Praise the Lord. Anyhow, now, one of the things that the Lord told me some time ago about this fellowship is concerning healing, and how we are not, okay, it's not just preaching end time. We cannot preach end time to people who are sick. They might die before Jesus comes. So we want to make sure that Jesus comes when you are, you're okay and like this. So we have to first of all pray for you to get healed. And then when you're healed, then the Lord finds you here, preaching the gospel. Praise the Lord. And it's very important to us that everybody here is healed. And therefore now, if you're sick, just stand up. Now, our faith is charged. Amen. Everybody is going to be healed. Amen. Say amen.
Amen.
Nobody is living here with any sickness, even if it is flu or what. This is a sickness-free zone. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay. Sing a song, and if you want me to pray for you for sickness, not just me actually, before we sing a song, this gentleman here, and where is Rogers? Where is Rogers? Who is here? I saw him. Okay. You come. Now this one here is also, Yeah. Heals the sick, Heals the sick, And this one, okay, doesn't know it so much, but it also heals the sick, So now we are going to pray for everybody who is sick. Praise the Lord. Like now, before even we get into preaching, And then when we get into preaching, there is nobody who is suffering from nothing. Praise the Lord. Yeah, so, sing. And if you're sick, come forward, the Lord. So who has a testimony? Come on, tell us.
Praise God. Right from primary 5, I could not see things which are far. And the doctors recommended me to get glasses, but I refused. And you see that projector, everything I could see is like white. I could see the things, but they are what? They are white. But as the watchman is praying for me, told me, go at the back. And I went at the back, then I could be able to read at least letters per what? Per letter.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Your other testimonies will come next week. As in, that's when we'll be here next. But they will come before next week. But praise the Lord. Am I loud enough? Okay. Glory to God. Now, get that mic. Keep it here. Gabriel, come and tell us what you saw about these are some economic situation, something you are telling me.
Praise the Lord. The Lord was showing me basically the church. And I was seeing actually the Lord, and some lady was going to the Lord, and the Lord was like, okay, you're misplaced. But they were trying to explain why they are misplaced. So there was this tight economic situation that was happening all over Uganda. And it was not just in Uganda, but it was forcing many Christians actually, who are not actually supposed to be in Uganda, to actually run out of the country and go there because the jobs were too tight and they were paying little. Okay? So that's what I saw in brief.
Amen. Now, where is Rogers? Yeah, you tell us that dream here.
Praise God. Put the mic a bit in here. I had a dream where the Lord was showing me it was a very big church, and this church had a compound that was so big. But the peculiar thing about this compound is that it didn't have the walkways, as in to the entrance of the church. And it was all green. The grass was green. It was well trimmed. And you could see that the green was really, you know, rich green. Then as I was walking towards the church, now I noticed that the church, besides being big, it was white, as in sparkling white, so enormous and white in color. And before getting into the church, of course, I was given some green, I was being served tea in a green cup also. Then the Lord gave me the interpretation that the church of Christ, we are entering into another phase where we are going to grow, to expand. Now, the green is to do with fruitfulness. You know, in Psalms 23, the Bible says that he leads me to green pasture, and even in the book of Ezekiel, he says that Ezekiel prophesies and says that Israel will be inhabited again, and they will be like an olive tree, green, and the branches will come forth. So it is the fruitfulness. Now, the church is growing. Now, this growth is holistic in a way that it touches. It is spiritual, physical, financial, in all realms. Eh? Now, in these different realms, of course, we have to participate. When the prophet prophesied that there's going to be that a kilo of flour is going to cost a shekel, some believed and some did not. And those who did not, of course, they didn't enjoy the fruits thereof. So we have to participate. We have to take it personal so that you also enjoy this fruitfulness in terms of finances and you know, your growth in the Lord. Amen.
Put the mic there. We might need it again. Is it a shekel or a shekel? Okay. Ladies have their own pronunciation, and the guys seem to have theirs. Okay, praise the Lord. Now, today I'm going to teach you something, which, you know, Revelation 18, verse 4 says, that come out of them, my people, come out of what? Of Babylon, lest you partake in their punishment, in their plagues. Then I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her what? Of her plague. Now, we know this is talking about the end time church, and I've told you what Babylon means and how it is present in our time today. So now, but the Lord is continuously telling us how to come out of Babylon, not our bodies out of Babylon, but everything else outside of Babylon, so that we operate in a system that is above the Babylonian system. Praise the Lord. Now, one of the main ways, of course, you get out of the Babylonian system, the main way actually is money. Praise the Lord, is money. Now, the thing is, when I sit in my office and people come to speak to me, most of them, the issue is money, everything seems not to be working out, this is not working out, I don't know why this is not working out, and it almost surrounds that. And you see, it's so important to God. Money is such an important thing. Money for the believers is such an important thing to God, because his whole system rotates around it. Amen? In the absence of certain things, nothing can be done. Now, there are some young people who came to me and who had started a ministry 1 year ago, and so they came and told me they listened to me when I was on radio, and by the way, I'm going back to radio. Okay. Now, and they said that they wanted me to come and speak to them on a Sunday. I knew I wasn't going to go there, but so I told them, now here is the deal. There were like four people in my office. So I told them, here is the deal. Ministry revolves around money. Around what? In the absence of money, there is no ministry. Now, I know some of you, many of you actually being developed for ministries of your own. Now, there are certain things which if you don't know, you will never be effective. Now, according to a survey which was done in America, 95% of ministries fail. And I think 95% of the time is because of money. Because there is nobody who has a calling and doesn't want to fulfill it. But it takes certain things for it to be fulfilled. Praise the Lord. So so we spoke certain things about money. And now today I'm going to tell you, perhaps for the last time, how to get off the Babylonian system. Now I'm going to give you ABC. Now you either will listen to me or you will not. Okay? If you do, it cannot fail to change your financial situation. It cannot fail. The word of God is not a gamble. You understand what I'm saying? Eh? It is sure. It is absolutely sure. Praise God. Amen? Now I'm going to teach you how to get off the Babylonian system of finance. Praise the Lord. So tell your neighbor how to get off the Babylonian system of finance. Yeah. Now, Genesis chapter 26. Verse 1. There was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gerar. Then the Lord appeared to him and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land which I shall tell you." Now, it's important to understand that when there was a famine in the days of Abraham, the father of Isaac, Abraham actually went over to Egypt. And that's how he got supplied. Now, Isaac was thinking of doing the same because there was famine where he is. But the Lord told him, "Do not go down to Egypt. Stay in the land." Okay? Then, "Dwell in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and your descendants I will give all these lands, and will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham, your father." Okay? "I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of the earth. I will give your descendants all these lands. In your seed all the nations shall be blessed." Now, I want you to move over to verse 12. "Then Isaac sowed in that land in that same time and reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him." Now, you see, these are simple scriptures which you've read before. Eh? But until you understand what they really mean and put them into practice, they will never have the impact they are supposed to have in your life. Now, we are talking at somebody who was in a land where there was famine, okay, where there was drought. And the Lord told him, "Don't leave." So he sowed in the time of famine and reaped 100-fold the same year. Amen? The same what? Now, let me tell you this in brief. You will never get off the Babylonian system until you learn how to sow in famine. Now, what does that mean? That means that sowing at a time when you have less, when you cannot afford to sow. You understand what I'm saying? Now, when most times when people talk about giving, immediately certain people will exclude themselves because why? They can't afford to. You understand? Eh? I have only money for rent and what? I am only barely meeting my needs, so I cannot afford to sow. Then you pray and say, "God, if you give me more money, I will sow." Now, let me tell you, you will pray until Jesus comes back and you will still be barely meeting your needs because that's not how the system operates. Praise the Lord. Now, until you learn how to sow in famine. Famine means you have exact money for transport by taxi, and then you just do a crazy thing and sow all of it. Now, when you do that, your financial level can never fail to change immediately. Never. Because the sowing, the difference is that you're sowing when you cannot afford to. Now, that obviously, it means you're taking a step of faith. Because what are you going to tell your landlord? Now, last night, I was talking to somebody who told me he was in a scenario like that. He had money, he had been at a job, he entered the job. You know when you get into a place where you came from a bad place, and you go and you're employed by this bazungu, first find out how much you were earning before, and they want to pay you just slightly more. Then you get in there and you're doing a lot of work and you realize people came who are at the same level as you and getting much, much more, but they will not increase yours because you were okay before on the other one. So don't waste our time. Now, and then they do annual reviews at the end of the year. Then they, you know, say you've done well, appraisals, and then they give you a 5% increase. So now you are never going to catch up because when they increase the other people, they increase yours as well. So, and then of course, you start doing the normal things, which actually are things which are supposed to be for maintenance. There is maintenance, and then there is stepping up. You understand what I'm saying? If you give a tithe and an offer and normal things, that is maintenance. Eh? When you want to move to a higher level, you have to go beyond that. Now, there are certain people who will come, and so many of them come to me. Now, when I was at the night prayer, a certain gentleman came to me and told me, there was this lorry he wanted to buy, and it was this amount of money. He was collecting money. He had this amount of money so far. Now, the lorry, I think, was about 30 million. I think he had like 15 million, and he came with a seed of 100,000. So I told him, no, you continue praying. I won't take that seed, but continue praying. Maybe God will do a miracle. Because I know he's wasting his time. That he's trying to be sharp. Now, you see the system of God, you can't be sharp. Now, somebody will go and do something crazy, and the next day he will come up with a big miracle. And you'll say, why him? The system has no respect for anybody. It just has respect for faith. Praise the Lord. Now, you're trying to be sharp. You want to get 15 million with 100,000. Eh? It is not going to work. Now, there are certain ways certain things are done. Now, the Lord knows I do the things I'm telling you. Praise the Lord. It's how I survive. Because I don't work. I don't have a formal job. Yet I have children. I have water. You understand? Eh? So the things I do are the things I survive by. If I didn't do them, I would not have any money to pay my kids' school fees and stuff like that. Anyhow, so you, please understand, eh? We are speaking things we do. Now, this gentleman sits and thinks, how do I get into the other bracket of earners and higher? So he chooses one day, and he has just enough money, because of course, you know, tight stuff. Eh? So he has just enough money for, I think, 3 months of rent, or so he's supposed to pay up front. And so he gets it one day and just sows it and remains with nothing. Then the landlord comes. Now, here is the thing. Eh? When you do things like that, you'll never be chased out of the house. Let me tell you that. That time, your landlord will come and be soft and what? Even as you wait for your miracle, God will do another miracle in making sure you're not embarrassed. Eh? I remember a time when I would say, when my landlord was on the case, and I said, Lord, you said that nobody trusted in you and was embarrassed. Eh? I am not going to be the first one. And I really believed that, and I wasn't embarrassed. Do you understand what I'm saying? Eh? Because I said I would trust in God, and God promised nobody ever trusted in him and was embarrassed. So it would be embarrassing if my things are thrown out of the house. Eh? So they were, now, so the guy sold the 3 months of what, and then the first week his landlord comes and says, no, hang on a bit, I'm going to get. Now what happens is for those people, because it's a very American system, and the people who are here in charge are paid a lot of money to make sure that the other people who are working are paid very little money. You understand? Eh? Where they have a system where an MD is paid millions, tens of millions, to make sure that everybody else is paid very little. Now, part of his work is making sure that he keeps you as slave, you know? And he cannot overrule the structure because it has to be overruled by someone who is above him in another country. Now, apparently the woman who had to overrule the structure was in Spain. But at about the time when this man sows, by coincidence, something happens in Uganda where there is a court case and there's all these things. So the only woman who can overrule the system has to come to Uganda. And she comes here so angry because it's like, you know, Uganda is a small country for the businesses they have. They have in all, so many other countries. So it's like, what should I say? I was going to give an example, then I realized it was very irrelevant for now. But anyhow, the thing is, so you get somebody who has so many business interests and tell them, go to Yoka shop down there. And it's, you're wasting my time. Eh? Like, there are bigger things. But anyhow, she had to come here because there was a thing. Now, she comes here, and there's this very big thing happening, and all the people who are paid a lot of money to do it cannot do it. And the only person who can do it is this gentleman. So now, she calls all of them and says, how do we handle this? And all of them are giving her crap. And she says, "What is that what you think? Rubbish, rubbish. Then this guy talks. Then he says, who is this man? This is the best thing. Anyway, to cut a long story short, at the end of it, she had fired the other guys, and this guy had gotten their position and their money. And now you see, so suddenly steps up. Now, why? Because he sowed it's different from sowing in abundance. Sowing in abundance has its advantage, but it can never be the same. When you sow in famine, you reap 100-fold the same year. Now, this is how you change financial levels and determine your seasons. You don't wait for somebody else to determine your season. You don't wait for your employer to determine your season. You can determine it yourself. Praise the Lord. And you should. Now, let me tell you something. You're hearing what is happening in the financial world out here. You see, there is a reason why I'm preaching this. We don't just preach things. You're hearing what's happening in the financial world. Now, people who are known to have money, suddenly their empires are being what? Shaken. Now, this is of God. The purpose is to shift who is on top. Now, God uses famine. God uses famine to set out somebody and show that this guy is separate from all of it. You understand what I'm saying? So when he wants to pull somebody out, he causes a confusion. So that at the end of it, the person he wants is up and the other guys are down. You understand? Now the time is now. Listen, the time is now. Now. Listen to me. You can get to this time next year when you are in a financial realm that you never believed was even possible. If you listen to what I'm telling you. And you don't see this as... Now the difference is people, when you talk about, they immediately disqualify themselves because they think they don't have enough. And that's when you are supposed to give, when you don't have enough, when there is famine. That is the best time. Now, you cannot escape this, whether you like it or not. This is the foundation. You will never escape it. If you want work, you will work and work and work, and work so many hours, and you'll be frustrated with the Babylonian system, because it does not even wish you well. But God has another system for you, which you can totally... Now, the guys who... Somehow the boss comes, this man comes, he speaks. Then, at around the same time, in the short time she's here, there is a court case up country in which they are losing property because the government is passing, you know, a road through. And then they do some kind of forced takeover. So the government can decide what they are going to give you. So they are decided for a prime property to give some, up country, to give them 24 million. Now this gentleman, when the boss is around, goes and negotiates from 24 million and they give them, I think, 650 million. From government. So the woman says, who is this man? Now you see, God sets you apart. But it starts from the others. If you don't, you will be there. Praying. I told you, money does not respond to prayer. Don't waste your time praying for money. It does not work. God puts certain things for money. If you do them, they will work. Praise the Lord. So this gentleman, so the woman who is angry that they took, it's like, you know, he told me like a queen who has been called away from her throne. How do you bring me to Uganda? Like she's in charge of operations around the world. So Uganda is like the backwaters. But she comes and she's the only one who can overrule the structure. And so she comes and does it. So by the time she goes back to wherever she was, this man is up there. Now there is famine. And now the whole shaking, the whole shaking in the system was just for one person. So that at the end of it all, one person is standing on top. Now, Isaac sold and reaped in the same year, 100-fold the famine, and the Lord blessed him. Go ahead. The man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. Okay? For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and a great number of servants. So the Philistines envied him. Now, he went there as a foreigner, as an alien. Now, the famine came to set him apart. Now the Philistines had stopped up all the wells which his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham his father, and they had filled them with earth. Okay, that's called Nugwe. Now, and Abimelech said to Isaac, go away from us, for you are much mightier than we. Then Isaac departed from there and pitched his tent in the valley of Gera. And now you understand what I'm saying? The man came as an alien. Then a famine comes. Then God tells him how to use the famine to come out on top. And then he comes out so much on top that the king comes and tells him, get away from here. Because you're so much richer than us and you're making us look bad. You understand? Now, you understand what I'm saying? Now, that is the purpose of the famine. Now, when you don't realize that the worldly system shakes so that God can put... Because I told you this before. The prosperity for the children of God is a matter of Bible prophecy. Amen? It is not a luxury. It has to come to pass as surely as Jesus has to show up in the skies. It has to come to pass. There is no two ways about it. The only question is, will you be part of it or not? But the church is going to have to be prosperous because that was prophesied in the Bible and all Bible prophecies come to pass. Now, the question is, how does it work for you? And you don't have to have anything. You just have to start from where you are. If it's a job, you get up on top. Somehow, remember what I told you about Daniel? Somehow you end up where? There is a shaking. So that God separates other people from you. At the end of the interview, Daniel is one of so many magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, you understand? Then God wants to show the people that, no, Daniel is different from those others. Eh? So what does he do? He just makes the king dream. And you see how easy it is for God. He makes the king dream, and by the end of the dream, Daniel is on top. He's better than all the rest. Why? Because he's the only one who can interpret the dream. You understand? And now, like, it's that easy for God. Just a dream. Just a dream. And then he makes the guy forget who dreamt it. Just that. And at the end of it, do you understand what I'm saying? Eh? A small crisis and somebody stands out anyhow. So now this, if you learn this principle, eh, this is what Jesus is trying to say in the famous story of the widow and her two mites in Luke 26. Luke 26, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days at Luke 26, verse 1. It's 21, I think. 21. Luke 21, rather. Sorry. And he looked up and saw the rich putting in their gifts into the treasury. And he also saw a certain poor widow putting in two mites, whatever that is. But you know, little money. So he said, truly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all of them. Do you know why? She's the only one who has sold out of in famine. Now listen to what he says. She has put more, okay? For all the others out of their abundance. Now the thing is, every Christian wants to give out of abundance. But the Lord is saying, give in your famine and prove me. That, as in, just put some faith to it and give when you cannot afford to. Now he says, all the others out of their abundance have put in their offerings for God. For God is added by the translators. But she, out of her poverty, put in all the livelihood that she has. In other words, what he's saying now, famine, she's giving. Now, you look through all the scriptures. I'm not going to show them all to you. But look through all of them. You'll see that the difference, what makes certain people different, is that they give when they cannot afford to give. So God says, tells Elijah when the brook dries up, and he tells him, go to a widow in Zarephath who have commanded to feed you. Amen? The widow who he has commanded to feed Elijah has food for just herself and her son and one meal. But God says, I've commanded that widow to feed you. Now, of course, you know what happened. Eh? So she feeds him when she cannot afford to, and then she feeds him throughout because the food does not run out. Now, the difference is, you know, when I'm believing God, I remind myself that there are people who believed God for bigger things. When I'm believing God and if he doesn't come out, I'm going to be thrown out of a house. That was a while ago. Of course, I cannot be now. praise the Lord. Okay. I remind myself that there are people who believed God when if they didn't happen, they were going to die. You understand? Eh? Like Jehoshaphat is attacked by an army of Assyrians, and he says, God, these people are too numerous for us. We can't handle them. Now, if you don't do something, we are finished. Now, for them, they are going to, and Jehoshaphat himself, you know what they would do to kings? They would take out their eyes. So the man is believing God, and at the other side of believing is his life and his eyes. For you, only thing is you're going to be thrown out of your house, and you cannot believe God. You're not going to die. In any case, you wouldn't be the first person to be thrown out of your house. Neither would you be the last. But these guys are believing God, and they are going to die if he doesn't do something. You understand what I'm saying? Eh? People have believed God for big things. Big things. So when I'm psyching myself to believe for something, I say, what's the worst that can happen? It is this. If it happened, would I die? Sometimes, okay. You understand what I'm saying? Eh? Because the devil can make something small look so big. You're going to do this. You're going to get your kid will miss 1 week of school. But who said all kids start school at the beginning? Now look at what could happen. You understand what I'm saying? The other side of it. But you see the difference between people who saw in famine and they see what is ahead. Now those who are Man, let me first clear these bills. Eh? So when I was talking to these ministers, I told them, now here is how ministries become broke. Should I tell you how? We spend about $4 million on every fellowship here. We have here. Those who are at the partners meeting, you know that. And on average, we collect around $1.5 million. So, where do we get the other money? We get it somehow. Eh? God provides. Eh? Because we get it. Because you've never come here and there is no fellowship. Eh? Neither with you. Eh? But here is the point. Your needs are $4 million. You have $1.5 million. Now, if you listen to the way the world thinks, you'll say, let's pay some of it, and then you go and start praying, God, God, we need, what's the difference? 2.5, eh? Then you pray, God, we need 2.5, God, we need 2.5. Then it doesn't come, because it will not, eh? Then afterwards, after that, the next time, you need 4 million still. This time, actually, you'll collect 1 million, not 1.5. Then you also have the other debt. Eh? So tell me what is going to happen after 1 month. You understand what I'm saying? Now, if you learn how, if you know how to sow in famine, you will get the 1.5 million and sow all of it. How will you pay for it? It will come. It will never fail to come. Like, these are tried and tested. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. It will either, somehow, if you have to pay, let's say, the hotel, that time they will say, no, it's okay, you can come and have fellowship without paying. Even now, that you immediately you know that's already the beginning of a miracle. Yeah. Then, somewhere along the way, then the next time, from 1.5 million, you realize you're actually now collecting from the same people, you're now collecting 5 million. Because you took that extra step of sowing in what? In famine. Famine means there is not enough. You understand? Eh? Now, whereas now the world will tell you, we need this. Now, when you sow, sowing has a way of empowering your faith. And you know something is going to happen. Praise the Lord. So, I've told you this before. When we had the conference, we sat down with the people who were in the inner circle organizing. And we realized we needed around 45 to 50 million to do the conference. And I was on radio, so I told people who feel led to sow into the ministry for the purpose of the conference to send money. And I got 3 million. You know what I did with 3 million. So I remained with zero. Okay? Then I got an extra 2 million. You know what I did with 2 million. Then I remained again with what? Now, in the thinking of the world, is you need 45 million. You have 5. So now you need 40. Now how stupid can you be to get the 5 and give it away? Now you're back to needing 45. You understand what I'm saying? Now, you cannot survive this, whether you are in ministry or in your private lives. Eh? The only way you're going to get onto God's system, where you will not be in lack, is this. There is no other way. There is none. None. I can guarantee you that. There is none. Now, if you wait for a time when there is abundance to sow, it will not come. You will always be in lack. Now, somebody who sowed when they were in lack, and sowed and remained with nothing, give them 1 month, they will have abundance. Now, they will stay at that level of abundance until they do another crazy thing again, and then they move up. Now, the problem is, there is a lot of arrivalism. What takes you to a certain stage, what took you up, is what you need to stay up. If you sow and get a bigger job, and then suddenly you stop sowing, you will see. It's the same means that takes you up that maintains you there. You understand what I'm saying? So it has to be a practice. And when it gets into practice, it takes you up and up and up. There is no way down. There is no way down. Never. Praise the Lord. Now, that's one of the ways that what? That's how you find a ministry starting, then people get in debt, then they get deeper in debt, then they get deeper in debt, and then they are praying, God, well, God sent me, God called me, God actually called me to do this. How come the money is not enough? I'm not getting in debt. And it's a simple principle. So in famine, don't wait for a time when now you say, we are collecting 4 million, we are collecting 1.5 million. So now what we are going to do is, let's wait for when we are collecting 5 million, then we'll sow the 1 million. Guess what? That time will never happen. Not like that. Do you understand what I'm saying? It just doesn't happen. It will never, you will go from 1.5 to 1.4 to 1 million to 800,000 until they chase you away. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, that's why and there is nothing as powerful as sowing in famine. I wish you knew. If you can change your seasons over and over again, so that you don't have to wait for anybody to change seasons. Now, the reason I'm telling you this is because when you hear a man who was renowned to be the richest in the world, and you get to what the country rather, okay, according to some allegations in East Africa, but that was totally false, okay. Okay, at least the richest in the country. And then you hear the things which are happening. Basic what, then this, then that. Then you say, man, what's up? Then there's a whole system crumbling. And then we saw these things a while ago. So we've been waiting for these things to happen. Now the purpose of it is for you. For who?
Me.
For who?
Me.
Again, who?
Me.
At the end of it all, after the shaking, you're on top. That's the whole purpose. That's the whole purpose. Whatever line of trade or whatever you're in, that is the whole purpose. God wants you. Because if it's not you, it has to be somebody else. Because the church has to be on top. Now, my prayer is that nobody is actually left behind. Because the devil has held you back in fear. Now, what are you going to what? You're going to delay paying your rent. What will the landlord say? Is it the first time you've delayed paying rent? Praise the Lord. Anyhow, so let me show you something else. Now, people don't understand why it is so important for us that these things are taught. Because we can pray for sick people, they get healed. But when you're broke, life is just not good. And there is no need for you to be broke. There is absolutely none. Now, if you are, don't say we did tell you. Amen? There is no need. God doesn't want it. You don't want it. Who else? I don't want it for you. Glory to God. Now, but you see what happens, what has happened in so many of the, one of the reasons that people have get into this position of, there's a scripture I was reading in 1 Samuel, which showed me a number of things. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 12. Because I was asking myself that how come that not all ministries are moving, thriving in this financial grace, which is so clearly evident? Perhaps even us, not as much as we should. But the grace is there, and it is there. And it is supposed to lift everybody. Because everything God does is to lift people's lives up. Everything. There is nothing he does, which is the purpose of which is not to lift. Because you're saved, you are all going to heaven. Now, that having been settled, the next thing is for God to make sure you live a good life while you're still on earth. Amen? After somebody is saved, the only business of God is to make sure that your life on earth is very good. Your family life, your health, your wealth, everything else. That's his business. That's the whole purpose of all this. Now the sons of Eli were corrupt. They did not know the Lord. Now this is serious. Because when it says corrupt, it says they were sons of Belial. Sons of Belial means people. Belial was, like Baal, but also has a lot to do with what? With money. Now, these are people who see things in a natural, in the natural perspective. Everything is seen the natural way. This is how things, so they were sons of Belial, but they were sons of Eli, but they saw things in a different way. Now, go ahead. And the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered a sacrifice, the priest's servant would come with a three-pronged flesh hook, in his hand while the meat was boiling. Okay? Then he would thrust it into the pan or the kettle or cauldron or the pot, and the priest would take for himself all that the flesh hook brought up. So they did in Silo to all the Israelites who came. Now the priest comes with a three pronged fork, a big fork. And when the meat is boiling, he comes and And whatever comes out is his. Eh? But see, that's not what God had said. Eh? That was nothing of what God had said the sacrifices should be like. So they completely messed up a system, which was... Anyway, let's go ahead. Also, before they burned the fat, the priests... Now, God had told the children of Israel, when you bring the meat, first burn the fat. And he told them how to do it. Burn the fat, and then the rest is for the priests. Eh? They can eat. But first do this. Now, God says for him, he wants the smoke, which comes out from the fat. But right there, what they are doing is making the meat healthy. But he tells them, now do this. Burn off the fat. Take off the blood. But now these people turned the whole thing upside down. So they burned. Now, before they burned the fat, the priest's servant would come and say to the man who sacrificed, give me meat for roasting to the priest. For he will not take boiled meat from you, but raw. And if the man said to him, they should really burn the fat first. Because now the men even seem to know the law more than the priests. Eh? So the man says, no, what you're doing is not right. We should first burn the fat. Then you may take as much as your heart desires. He would then answer him, no, but you must give it to me now. And if not, I will take it by what? That's what priests were doing. Okay? Go ahead. Therefore, now listen to what God thinks about this. Therefore, the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord. The sin was what? Very what? Because for the men abhorred the offering, or in other words, they despised. Because they saw they had turned it into a silly thing. Eh? Now, that's what happened. Now, let me tell you, I've been in places where I go and... I was actually in a church where I went and stood up to talk about money. Which everybody needs, okay? And like almost a quarter of the church stood up and left. Eh? Now, of course, I don't blame the church because the leaders do things which make men despise the offering. And you see, God says their sin was so great because the whole system of God operates on that offering. In the absence of it, there is no way he can bless his children. There is no way he can do his work. So how are we going to preach the gospel and tell people Jesus is coming when... You understand what I'm saying? So if you don't understand the sacredness of it and you take it as a light thing, then you make people despise it. Now, that has happened in so many ministries where people just get tired of the whole offering. And they started well. And by the way, God holds to account the people who made them despise it. Because the sons of Eli paid with their life for making the children of God abhor the offering of the Lord. Or despise. Or in Luganda, they would say, Nibiba nyua. Nuga chamunye. As in, you got tired of it, and you just said, it's rubbish. Because you know what the law says. Then you go, and the priest is doing something different, and he's what? Bring the meat. And you say, man, this is not how it's supposed to be. I'm supposed to be giving in reverence. You understand? So the children of God abhorred the offering. And now, let me read on, and we see. Then, praise the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This is the scripture. Eh? Amen. Verse 27. Then a man of God came to Eli and said to him, thus says the Lord, did I not clearly reveal myself to the house of your father when they were in Egypt, in Pharaoh's house? Did I not choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer up my altar, to burn incense, and to wear an ephod before me? And did I not give to the house of your father all the offerings of the children of Israel made by fire? So what God is saying, you bring the children of Israel to the knowledge of God and their offerings, I've given them to you. Okay? Then he says, go ahead. Why do you kick at my sacrifice and my offering, which I have commanded in my dwelling place, and honor your sons more than me, to make yourselves fat with the best of the offerings of Israel, my people? Therefore, the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father would walk before me forever. Okay? But now the Lord says, in other words, before I said this, but now here is my new position. This is a change of position. Far be it from me, for those who honor me, I will honor. And those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Praise the Lord. the sons of Eli died for that. They did what? Now, in the book of Nehemiah, after the children of Israel had come out of captivity, in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, Ezra the priest, they pulled out the law which they had spent hundreds of years without reading. And they dusted it off. Like, you know the way you pull out the book of the law, which God says read every day. But the whole system had crumbled, and people had forgotten about the law of God. And there was nothing of what was supposed to happen that was happening. So they pulled out the book of the law, and they read it, the Bible says, in the book of Ezra. And the people who had it cried, because they realized how far they had fallen off the law. But do you know where it all started? Nehemiah 13, verse 10. I also realized that the portions for the Levites or the priests had not been given them. For each of the Levites and the singers who did the work had gone back to his field. Now this, and he actually says a wicked thing happened, because the Levites waited in church for the offerings and there were none. So what did they do? They went in the field. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now let me tell you, God calls people who can do other things. Eh? Glory to God. But now, if I had, let's say, a day job, which I did, there is no way I would be able to teach you in time the way I do it. Eh? Or even do the other things that I do, counsel people, pray for people. Do research on end time. Do you know how many hours I spend doing research on end time? Like, I can't do a day job, you understand? Not that I'm not competent. I had a day job where they wanted me so much because I was the best at what I was doing. Yeah, but the Lord took me away from there. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, a time comes where, because people have got to a point where they, and that is true of almost every minister. You see, it even says singers, like Daniel. Because you can't do these things when your boss is telling you what you have deadlines to meet and all that. Now, it'd be in sports, what? I can't preach on Friday when there is a match and I have to report on it. But now if there is a match, I don't have to report here. Because what? Because God provides. Praise the Lord. But you get my point, And it's not that people can't. So when the priests waited and things were not happening, what did they do? They went to the field. Each one said, these guys. Now, as a result of that, the law died. Because if you read the book of Deuteronomy and Leviticus, the law is not easy. Because now get a turtle dove, cut it in the middle, spread it here, then put what here, then put in oil, then put what. I mean, there's a lot of stuff. The farmer is not supposed to know. For him, he's supposed to go and do his farming. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, there is a priest whose work is to know. So when the farmer comes to the temple to offer to God, the priest whose work is to study that law and make sure he knows what to do, he guides this man. This is how you do it. This is how you do it. This is what the word of the Lord says. So this man offers up his sacrifice to the Lord. Now, God says the priests are not supposed to work. They will eat of the sacrifices that are brought in the house. Amen? Now, what happens when the priest goes? Then the farmer comes to offer and he doesn't know how to offer because it's not his work to know. The person who is supposed... So, eventually, the Lord dies. Completely for 100, for 200 and something years, the Lord died over one thing, offering. And he totally died. So, people forgot what the law says. People forget what. And now, you see, that's why the devil attacks this thing of finance. Because the whole system of God depends on it. Praise the Lord. Now, where we are moving, we are going to spend perhaps twice what we are spending right now. But we have to preach the gospel of the end time to more people. But if the devil attacks it and is, what are we going to do? So, you see how we can hamstring God's operations by just attacking something which is so important. Now, if you understand the sacredness of this, then even when you don't ever give as if you're giving a pauper. You're giving God. God does not have a need. Praise the Lord. God has no need, none whatsoever.
But you see now the attitudes with which people give. Now let me tell you why people do not give, why people find a problem doing the things I'm talking about. There are three different attitudes with which people give. If you've heard this, my messages on sowing and reaping, there are three different attitudes. Now, the attitude is extremely important in whether you receive attitude. The first attitude is the attitude of a gambler. Have you seen these guys who do sports betting? When you go to do sports betting, if you have 1 million shillings, you'd be a fool to bet with 1 million shillings. When you're betting, you bet what you can afford to lose. Do you understand? So if you have 1 million shillings, bet 30,000. Because if you lose, you can afford to lose 30,000. That's how a good bettor thinks. So you bet what you can afford to lose. Because there's a chance that you lose. But there's also a chance that you win big, but you're a gambler. And God does not deal with what? Gamblers. I'm not saying that gambling, sports betting is bad. I'm not saying it's good either. I'm just giving it as an example. When somebody comes to, and you know the way we used to give in religion, where you look for change, as if you're tipping a waiter, and you give like that, because you're giving like a gambler, what you can afford to lose, so you give that. And guess what it does? Nothing. Nothing. Then there is another attitude, the attitude of a businessman. Now, a businessman gives expecting very quick returns, So he's kubaza. But there is no faith. There is risk. There is what? There is no faith. Now, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Put that scripture up here. Without faith, it is what? Does it say it's difficult? Very difficult? It is impossible to please God without faith. Now, the starting point is faith. So the attitude of a businessman, of a gambler, yield nothing. That's why I preached the message of feeding the 5,000 at Zoe. Some people gave and had instant testimonies. Others give and they still don't have their testimony. Why? Others give with another mindset, and others give with faith. And when you give it, you can never fail to get it. Never, never, never. Seeds don't die. Anyhow, let me. The third mindset is the correct one, is the mindset of a sower. Everything God does operates on the basis of sowing and reaping. Okay? Yeah. Everything the world does, the Babylonian system operates on buying and selling. On what? On buying and selling. Everybody in the Babylonian system, that is the world system, buys and sells. If you're a doctor, like Tina there, you went to medical school and paid money to get information. So you were buying information. Now that you have the information and you're a doctor, somebody comes to your clinic or whatever and they pays money, or they pay money for, so even professions and everything. So he said that trading, buying and selling doesn't just mean trading. So everybody buys and sells in the Babylonian system. Now in the kingdom of God, there is no buying and selling. Everything operates on sowing and reaping. That's how the system of God operates, sowing, and there is no other way. Now, when you go and give money with the attitude of a sower, the way a farmer thinks, that's what Jesus says, think like that. So, give yourself time, you'll always. Now, a farmer does not fear to sow seed because he knows he's going to get the harvest. He's not gambling. There is no gamble. He knows it works. He knows the system works. He knows the soil is there. Now, God put the soil. And the principle was set in heaven. You have nothing to do with it. But if you want if you have one grain of maize and you want a cob, you will have to use the ground. And the ground will produce a cob out of a grain. Now, let me... So now when you give with the right attitude and with the right faith, and especially now at the right time, listen to this. Why does it work for some people and not for other people? Let me show you why. Number one, before even I read that scripture, there is a rivalism. Somebody sows and reaps, then they go and give that as a testimony. Eh? And they don't what? They don't turn it into a lifestyle. So they say, you remember the other year, I sowed this and I got this. Then you give a testimony, I got this car out of sowing this. Yeah, but the car is old. Don't you need a new one? It's been 6 years since you started driving. You understand what I'm saying? Eh? Hey, use the same system. Don't just hold on to one thing and use that and turn it into a monument. It's not meant to be that. It is meant to spur you into a lifestyle of doing it. Eh? And now there is nobody here who doesn't have a testimony, or maybe a few, of when they sowed and they saw something happening out of sowing. You understand? Eh? But why did it happen only once? Because you built a monument around it. Around that one time. It's like I pray for a sick person, the person gets healed. Okay, somebody had hepatitis B, we prayed for her, she got healed. Now, what is that supposed to be? A monument? So 10 years later, I'm saying, you remember in the year 20 what? No. That means I pray for others. Because God is showing me this is not what's supposed to happen. You understand what I'm saying? Now, there is a lot of rivalism, and it's a feature of all our society, where people get one thing, and they build around that. So there's nobody who doesn't have a testimony here. You have it. Now, if you built around on, and turned that into a lifestyle, you would go from season to season to season to season. And it cannot fail to work. It cannot. It can never. Praise the Lord. If it didn't work, you just know, eh? I wouldn't even have money to buy a cappuccino. Because this is what I live by. It's what I live by. There is no two ways about it. Anyhow, there's a scripture I want us to read here. Then I will... Why are you laughing? Because, we have to... health. Oh, where is that scripture? Look for it. I thought you were prophetic. So you should know what's in my mind. Colossians chapter 2. And verse 1. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea. Conflict meaning desire. Eh? Okay, now this is old English. Eh? And for as many as have not seen my face in what? In the flesh. That their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love. This is the sentence I wanted. And attaining to all the riches of the full assurance of understanding. Amen? Say,
and attaining.
To all the riches,
to all the riches
of the full assurance.
Of understanding.
Now, here is what I'm saying. When you know, when you understand how the principle works, okay, you get to a level of the full, you get to a riches of the full assurance of knowing that this thing works. You understand what I'm saying? Where you are not gambling, you have the full assurance of understanding of how the mystery works. So, because the things of God are a mystery. You understand what I'm saying? Because in the world system, if you go and read the self-help books, they will tell you if you want more money, save, 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 save. Amen? And that makes sense. Because if you want 20 million, you save 500,000 every month, you'll have 20 million after 40 months. How many years are those? You'll have 20 million. Eh? Yeah, now that is, that there is no mystery in that. Eh? It's just obvious. Eh? A mystery is something that does not make logical sense. Eh? Now you come to me and I tell you, if you want 20 million, get a seed of 2 million and sow it. In other words, lose it. Then you'll get the 20 million. And you'll not wait 40 months. Now, that becomes a mystery. So the people of the world do not understand it. How do you tell me to give when you know? Hey, but remember the money for the conference, we got all of it by sowing. So we gave and we got. And this, we live by these things anyhow. So, but you see, when you do not, when you're gambling, the law of the spirit does not work in gambling. Eh? In other words, in try and error. The spiritual things don't work with try and error. When I'm, if you're doing anything, if you're, let's say, believing for something, or if you're praying for a sick person, you don't say, let me see if it is going to work. Eh? It will not work if you're trying it out. Eh? You have to have a sense of faith that this works. So if somebody comes and tells me, from here I cannot read there, and I tell him, let's go behind, I am not gambling. Okay, does that mean it works all the time? Maybe not. But I believe it works, because I've seen it work before. You understand what I'm saying? So if it doesn't work, I ask myself, why didn't it work? Because the Bible says this, you know, eh? That's how you develop. Now here it says, attaining to all the riches of the full assurance, where you know I am sure of what I am doing, I am not gambling. Because the people of the world believe 100% in the things they do. That's why they benefit from them, but at a lower level. Now the people of God believe only half of the things of God. So they want one foot here and another one here. So they are trying to be sharp. But in actual sense, they are being stupid. Because two things can't work at the same time. Eh? I mean, even here we know that if you're crossing the road, you look left and right and left. Eh? Because it says that the bus or you, it cannot be both of you. Eh? So if you're convinced of something, and you're thoroughly convinced, and now the people who benefit from this are things, people who get the full assurance of understanding. And you say, I'm sure, I know this works. It has to work, and I am not trying an error. I'm doing something that I know because the word of God says. Now, that's why it helps sometimes to even get a scripture and first of all meditate on it and make it a part of you. So that when you do, even when you sow with the full assurance of understanding. Then you know it works. It cannot fail to work. And I mean, because now the reason some people try and fail is because they are doing try and error. Right? And now that kills everything in the spirit. In the spirit, you have to sell yourself and go for it and go for broke. Eh? That's what they call it, eh? Going for broke. Eh? And it's a word from gambling, you know, from playing poker or stuff like that. Eh? You put all your chips on the desk and say, now roll the thing. If it works out, you're rich. Okay, it's not good to compare the word of God with gambling, but you know what I'm saying. So now, some people get to the point where they understand how it works. The first time you do it, it works. Then you say, then the second time maybe, okay, then eventually you understand, oh, this is how it works. If I have the right attitude, I sow in the right ground, okay, and I sow in famine, and this, it will definitely work. Then it works the first time, then the second time. Then you don't arrive. You use it. If you used it for a car, the car is not the last thing you need. You also need a house. Eh? And so many other things. Eh? And by the way, you also need to become wealthy because God is counting on you to become wealthy. The final evangelism of the world is going to be through money. There are people who will not listen to you when you're broke. Even if you tell them Jesus is coming, they will not listen to you when you're broke. But you first employ them. Then you're the CEO. Then they will listen to you. So God is counting on you to become rich, not just for you. It's not just for your sake. It's for his sake. It's for the kingdom's sake. You understand what I'm saying? So if you let God... Now, if God does the shaking, and you do not move, that is up to you. But he would have done his bit. And now it is in the news, and you know it. And by the way, don't think that it's just... It is a continuous process. Do you know how the business world has been shaken? When their capo is shaken. Now what is changing are people who did occult practices, who have been... Now the people of the world, you see now this is the problem. Somebody... You say somebody, tell somebody gave 3 month rent And you're like, wow, how can he? What? There are people out there who are giving their firstborn sons. And the spiritual world operates by sacrifice. And you wonder why. Somehow it turns out being richer. But you have a more powerful God, but you don't want to sacrifice. You want to be sharp. You say, oh, let me first get this. Now. It won't work. Let me tell you, now the system of the devil, when he tells you, I want this, there is no negotiation. God says, if you want to give, you give. If you don't want, you leave. You are the one who benefits. You understand? Eh? The devil says, I want your son. End of story. There's a gentleman who told me, he might even actually be here. He was born again. Don't look around. Eh? He was born again. Then he became very, very, very broke. By the way, don't play around. Eh? There's nothing like being, you know, clean broke. Eh? Where I don't even have hope. Eh? Because sometimes you're broke and there's somebody you're avenging some money and what. Eh? So there's some hope. Eh? But then there's being clean broke, there's nothing. You look at the sky and that's it. So the guy, somebody comes and tells him. Now these are the things, now these things happen in the real world. Eh? Somebody comes and tells him, but you know what? Eh? There's some, I can take you to some place. Eh? Where there is this guy, somewhere on Hoima Road, there is this guy, you can become very rich. The guy says, I believe in God. But then the brokenness intensifies. Then the guy eventually went and said, now, okay, where is this guy you said? So they went there. Now, the guy is a serious witch, by the way. He's a serious witch. Because this guy told me they sat on a animal skin. A dried animal. A what? Hide, or whatever. And then you move on the thing, eh? Then they arrived there to where the man was. Eh? The guy said, now you're too broke. Eh? I cannot even ask you for a hen. Because there is no way you're going to get it. By the true story, I am not forging. Eh? So, he says, but first go and get money. You'll come back after 2 weeks. Now, the guy leaves the place with nothing. Then somebody calls him and tells him, you know, I'm looking for this and this and this, and it's going to cost, I'm willing to pay, let's say, 10 million for it. And he says, I don't know where to get it. Then immediately somebody calls him and says, I'm selling this. And you understand? Eh? So in a short time, he makes money, starts making money. So 2 weeks later, he goes back. And says, so the man says, how did you make money? You know, this is how spiritual things work. Eh? You see, now like the other guy who gave his boss had to come from Spain. And you understand? Eh? Spiritual things work like that. So things happen and you end up being where you're supposed to be because your seed is speaking in the spiritual realm. And make no mistake, seeds speak in the spiritual realm. So the guy goes and, so the guy looks at him and says, okay, now you've started testing a little, eh? And now I want you to what? Yeah, go and bring over what? Over white goat. Okay, some stuff like that. Eh? The guy says, this is easy. So he leaves, went and looked for what you're supposed to bring. They cut what? The money increases. Then after some time, the guy had two sons, young kids, whom he liked. After some time, of course, the money is coming. Now he's even, you know, has DSTV, what? So he reaches home, and his kids are happy. Daddy, we're watching TV today. And he's, my kids are in things. Eh? And until he went there and they told him that now we want those kids. He said, I'm not giving you my kids. The guy actually told him that you're going to have two other kids. to have four, but these two we want them. The other two you can keep them. The guy said, I'm not, I'll give you the other two. let me keep these ones. But you know the devil, there is no negotiating. No, zero negotiation. So he says, no, we want those ones who are there. We don't want those who are coming. We want those who are there. So eventually the guy, they tell him, we've given you 1 week to go and think about it. In that 1 week, he receives torment at night. What things are visiting him? What basically they show you that you either do it and become richer, or you don't do it and you're going to die. Now there is no way back. You've crossed a certain line. So the guy says, I am not going to give my children. I have refused. So they tell him, now you're joking. So now what he did, because he had actually been a born again person, so he runs back and now says, God, now, okay, I need your protection. Things are bad. But within like all the money he had accumulated, within like 3 days he lost it. Spectacularly, something happened. Now you think the story of Job, that's how the devil does his things. That we were aware, and then the lightning struck and all the sheep died. Then here and all the servants died. I'm the only one who remained. Then here, when the devil has his hands on you, of course, he can't have them on you, because you're a child of God. Now, so he lost all the wealth, but he said, you know what, I'm not giving up my sons. Come and buy and buy. Of course, now when you come back, so the devil, he can no longer kill you. He has no power. By the way, he cannot even kill his servants. He has no power to kill anybody. But he threatens them. Anyhow, so not only did he lose the money, he ended up in prison over something. So he goes to prison. He spends there, I think, a number of months in Luzira. Now when he's there, he's praying. Then he promises God that now I've learned my lesson. Even if I am the brokest broke, I am with you, Kabani Kundongo. Like I will never. So, he says you're sleeping at night, and he had a voice telling him, tomorrow you're going to be released from this place. And the next day he was released, and now he's a preacher of the gospel. Now, why was I telling you that? Anyway, I'm about to finish. Now, Now, you see, people are being asked for their children. And they give them, by the way. They give them. You remember that story which was in the media of a man who went and buried his daughter in what? In the concrete. It was in Sunday Vision some years back. But can you imagine how hard-hearted you be? Okay. Like that is the devil has completely finished. You have no heart. You have a heart like his. I told you the story here sometime. The guy is there working, then he sees the owner of a building, one of these arcades in town. I even know the arcade. And I know the owner. Now, so they come at night, they tell all the workers at night, go. You know they work night and day shift. So they tell the day workers, dig a hole here, next to a pillar. So they dig a hole. Then they say, you leave it. Go home. The night people will feed it up, apparently with concrete, apparently to strengthen the pillar, which they were claiming wasn't, strong enough. Then the night people come, before they could feed it, they tell them, we've excused you tonight, you'll be paid this time, you go home. So this guy is somewhere, I think it was Doji, they were making a cup of tea, so everybody goes and he doesn't realize. So when he comes, he sees the owner of the building driving in a very small car, which was a disguised car because he's a rich man. So he comes with a small, Corolla, and comes and parks it somewhere there, and comes out with a young girl who was, happy with him, like she knew him. So the presumption was that she actually was either a daughter or somebody who knew him, and she was eating a sweet. So then the man is seeing from upstairs, and they go and throw the girl in the hole and feed it with concrete. That is the sacrifice of wealth. And then you tell somebody to give 1 month rent, and they're like, Now the arcade sells children's clothes. And it's one of the most successful in output for children's clothes. It's downtown. So you can go and buy clothes for your children from there. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Okay. That's enough for today. But now, please understand, this is the last time, okay, unless the Lord tells me otherwise, that I'm going to be telling you this. Because we have other things to study. Now, you have to learn how to make this a lifestyle. Not just once, continuously. When it works, make it work and work and work. Don't build a monument around one testimony. Make it a constant thing so that it's constant. And don't forget this. So in famine. Don't disqualify yourself saying that I don't have enough. That is the best time to sow when you don't have enough. Because you don't sow because you have enough. You sow because you want. The sowing is for you, not for wherever it is you're giving it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now speak in tongues and thank the Lord for this wonderful time. Say, Father, repeat after me, Father, I enter my season. Say, in the name of Jesus, I shall not be left behind. When there is a transfer of wealth, like there was in the days of Isaac, I shall not be left behind. Say, Heavenly Father, I pray that you stir me up. You speak to me. Show me the way that I shall not be left behind. That I shall be a part of the coming world's transfer. In Jesus' name. Now speak in tongues and pray to the Lord. And just claim the wonderful things that God is doing. And thank God that He has you in His plans for purposes of worth. And before you give it, I want you to speak something over it concerning this season. Now, I want you to understand that the Lord told me to preach this because the season is now. Now, get your offering. If you are in the choir and you don't have it, go and get it. Okay? And speak a word over it. Make sure that you don't just give it. This is not richo. This is not a richo. As Tamale Mirundi says, this is not a richo. This is serious stuff. Praise the Lord. Amen. This is serious stuff. Now, I want you to give. First of all, listen to this. Give with something in mind. If you applied for a job, if you know, there's something you want. Give with that in mind and say that this is the beginning of my season. Remember, sowing in famine. Say, this is the beginning of my season. And prepare yourself to turn this into your way. It will definitely work. It cannot fail to work. So now when you have it, I want you to raise it and you repeat these words. Say, in the name of Jesus, I step into my season. Say, in Jesus' name, from this day onwards, I shall sow in famine. And I shall change seasons. I shall change seasons. I shall change seasons. I shall determine my seasons. The Babylonian system shall not be my system. Now, listen to this. What happened, what this man saw of lack of work and people running away, that is not your portion. You understand? Now, this is how you step out of it. And when other people are going into brokenness, you're going into a different direction. So, because you understand seasons, times and seasons. So now, what he was talking about where Abarokole are running. You are not going to be there running. Eh? You are going to be, if you want to run to go and preach the gospel, it's here, but voluntary. But not running away from famine. Praise the Lord. So now, just speak something over that offering. What it is you want, what you are believing God for. Something, something. Let it be tied to some faith. So that you are not giving it ritualistically or religiously. But you're giving it with faith. Now I want... We give you glory, Lord.
As we honor you.
We give you glory, Lord.
We give you glory, Lord.
As we honor you.
As we honor you.
We give
you are wonderful. You are worthy, oh Lord. You are wonderful. You are worthy.
Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you look upon each and everybody who has believed you today and believed this message. This is your word, O Lord. And I preach it in its season. And in the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you because each one understands now how to move away from the Babylonian system, which is rooted in deficiency, in not enough, in lack, and how to move to the system that is managed, the system of the kingdom, which is characterized by abundance. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you because we shall walk in abundance. And we shall not stick to the systems of the world when it comes to finance, but we shall do what the word says. And we shall see a different direction. When the world is in economic crisis, we shall have our best years yet. When the world is in famine, we shall have our best harvest yet. And just like Isaac reaped 100-fold in the same year, in the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you because we separate ourselves. You separate us through this practice. And we shall reap 100-fold and we shall become prosperous and prosperous until the world around us knows that we are blessed and the Lord is with us. And even as Abimelech spoke to Isaac and said, now I know that the Lord is with you, after he saw the prosperity of Isaac, so shall it be with us, that the people of the world shall look and say, we know that God is with you, because you are prosperous. Because you are prosperous. I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.